We've been talking about the Torah's perspective on collective punishment, which to me is a very fascinating issue. So we started with the psukim that tell us very clearly in Parshas Ki Tsetse, Ish b'cheta yumasu lo yumsu avos al banim, ubanim lo yumsu al avos. Children are not held accountable for what their parents do. Parents are not held responsible for what the children do. This is what the psukim say in by Avram Avinu, Chalila lacha me'asos kadabar hazeh. How can you dare do such a thing? Lahamis tzadik im rasha. How are you going to kill the righteous along with those who have done wrong? How is that fair? You should only kill those who are deserving of misa. This is what the psukim say by Moshe and Aaron as well. Al-kol ha'eda tiktzo, if you're going to destroy everyone just because Korach va'adaso start some sort of machlokes, why is that fair? And that's basically what we've discussed, that the Torah's premise is that generally we do not believe in collective punishment. We generally assume each person is held responsible for their own activities, for their own choices, and we cannot administer a punishment to more than he or she who is responsible for that. And yet, we have the story in Parshas Bo, where we have Makos Bechoros, which was the ultimate, that was the apex of the Makos. And there we have the story where Vashem Hiko Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim, the Ribono Shel Olam, comes and kills out all the Bechorim. Mi Bechor Paro Hayoshev Al Kiso, from the royal family of Paro, until all the ones who are also subservient, until the Bechor HaShivcha, until the woman who was only a Shivcha in Mitzrayim, which seemingly she was not responsible, her children had no influence. Yesterday we argued maybe most of Mitzrayim was possibly responsible because they had an ability to stand up, to say something, to protest, but they didn't do so, so they were responsible. I mentioned yesterday, and I'll mention the mistake, somebody sent me an email very correctly pointing out, yesterday I mentioned, you know, many of us look at Germany and we say, they're responsible, how did they not stop all the gas chambers, how did they not know what was going on? So this person corrected me and said that the gas chambers were only in Poland. So in Poland, they all knew good and well what was going on. In Germany, it seems, the gas chambers, they all knew there was oppression happening, but it could be they didn't know the extent of all that was being done. Either way, we assume that they are all held somewhat responsible because they knew what was going on. They knew what was going on, maybe not the extent of what was happening, but they knew that there was terrible oppression, they knew that there was somebody being taken advantage of, and yet, that's what happened by Mitzrayim as well. But there was the Bechor HaShivcha. What did they do wrong? They didn't have the ability, they didn't have the capacity to stand up to the master, the children of the Shvachos. And yet the pasuk goes further and says, also the Bechor that was Yoshev Bebar, he or she who was incarcerated, he or she who was in confinement and bondage, they were also held responsible. So how is that fair? That seems to be a collective punishment. We also mentioned the story in our parsha, which is the story of Shimon and Levi and their reaction and their response to Shechem. Shechem and Hamor go ahead and abduct their sister. They go ahead and take Dinah. They abuse her. They go ahead and rape her. And then the punishment is taken out on the entire city. Why is that fair? Isn't that also, shouldn't that also seem to be a violation of what the Torah's principle is, that we don't administer collective punishment? So the Medrash Tanchuma, let's begin with this. The Medrash Tanchuma, when discussing the story in Parshas Bo, writes very clearly, "Uvechimah hashvuyim machatu." Why is it fair that those who were in jail, that those who were incarcerated, that those who were in prison, they were restrained, they couldn't stand up to the oppression that was going on against the Jews? Why is it that they lost their children as well? Lila Medcha says the Medrash, Shekol Gzera Shehaya Paro Gozer Al Yisrael, that all of the decrees, all of the oppression that Paro brought about to the Jewish people at that time, Hayu Hashvuyim Semechem Bahem, those who were in jail were celebrating the fact, they were rejoicing, all of this oppression that was brought about against the Jewish people, they were very happy. Dichsiv, and then the Medrash quotes the Pasuk in Sefer Mishlei, Hasameach Le'ed Lo Yinakei, he or she who takes pleasure, he or she who takes pride in the downfall, in the deterioration of a people, in the diminution of a people, they are also going to go down with those people as well. You're not going to get away with it. If you take pleasure, even though you might not be first-handedly involved, but if you take pleasure in the fact that somebody else is suffering, you are going to go down along with them as well. Your end will not be so simple. The Medrash goes so far as to say, listen to this. Rabbi Lazar ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglidi Omer, Mipnei ma lako imahem, why was it that these children, which seem to be not responsible at all, you're still in jail, you're in slavery also in Mitzrayim, why were you held responsible for the fact that the Jewish people were being oppressed? You didn't have the ability to stand up to it. Mipnei ma lako imahem, says the Medrash, mipnei shehayu omrim. Listen to the rishis. Listen to the awful statement that they used to say, sitting in the jail, sitting being oppressed on their own. Listen what they said. Ritzoneinu niya b'shivodeinu. Our will is to stay in this confinement, in this enslavement, in this bondage, v'Yisrael yu b'shibudan. As long as the Jewish people are continuing to be oppressed, we're happy to stay with what we have also. We're also going to continue to be oppressed because We don't care to get out. As long as somebody else is suffering, we want to suffer as well. No, but these were Egyptians. These were Shvachos. And they were thrown into jail. And their attitude was, we're happy to stay in jail as long as the Jews are going to be oppressed. So that's the question. That's the question. What was their attitude? And the Medrash Chazal tell us here, the reason why they deserved to be killed on the night of Makas Bechoris was because they also took a part in this as well. Maybe not an active role, they were more of a passive role, but they were very happy inside. And as the Pasuk says in Mishle, HaSameach Le'eid, somebody who's happy with another person's downfall, with another person's deterioration, we consider that to be a part of the Avera as well. Rabbeinu Yonah, who's one of the great Talmidim of the Ramban, Rabbeinu Yonah was the Rebbe of the Rashba, the Rebbe of the Ra'a, one of the Gedoli HaRishonim who lived in the 1200s. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote a famous Sefer, the Shari Tshuva. And there in the Shari Tshuva, which is a Sefer all about Musar, he writes the following, V'ala sameach le'eid, amer lo yinake. It says that on a person who is happy, a person who takes pleasure in somebody else's failure, the Pasuk says, lo yinake, you will not be vindicated, you will not walk away from that absolved. You're not going to be so unscathed by having pleasure from somebody else's downfall. Ki afal pi shelo hizik b'maisa. Even though you didn't actively do anything to that person, you didn't cause the downfall, you just watch what's happening. How often do we watch sometimes in the news? You see, you know, an Orthodox Jew was taken into custody, and you watch as the police take them away, and you say, oh, he deserved it. Oh, you see? And maybe they did deserve it. And sometimes a certain part of a person is happy about the fact, finally they caught this person, finally they're not getting away with it anymore. And here says Rabbeinu Yonah, even if a person may deserve it, even if a person did something wrong, still he says, lo yinake, a person shouldn't have that feeling of taking pleasure in the fact that somebody else is being punished, that somebody else is having a downfall. The Chafetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, ma me'od sarach ha'adam lehizaher, how careful a person has to be, shelo yiyah sameach b'mapalas chaveiro ubibizyono. Sometimes when you see a person go down, and this is your enemy, this is the person you've never liked, and it's a person for good reason who you don't like, but still says the Chafetz Chaim, how careful we have to be. Ukamosha Kasav, as the Pasuk itself warns us, binafal o yivchal tismach. Even if it's when your arch enemy is being taken down, even when the Mitzriim are being punished, we shouldn't take pleasure in the fact that our enemies are being destroyed, that they're being punished. Why? Pen yira Hashem v'raba einav. Maybe God will see your reaction, maybe God will see your response, and He won't be so happy. He won't be so pleased in the fact that you're in joy, that you're taking pleasure, while other human beings are suffering. The avon hazeh, says the Chafetz Chaim. And this terrible response, this reaction that we sometimes have when we see somebody else suffering and we're happy about it, ma'orer ma'od es koach hadin al ha'adam. That makes God come down and say, let me look into what you're doing. Let me look into the way you're leading your life. Let me see the way your reaction and your responses to other things in your life. Let's see how clean you are. V'yesh bo koach, says the Shmiras HaLashon, it has the ability, lahachriv mamish kamo avon avodah zarah. It can bring and destroy a person. It can bring a person down the same way avodah zarah can. Same way avodah zarah can. Avodah zarah is from the shalosh averos chamuros. That's from the worst of the worst. How can you compare this reaction to somebody else's suffering when you're going to be happy about it? How can you compare that at all to avodah zarah? Well, says the Shmiras HaLashon as follows. Because Chazal tell us, ki bishas churban habayis, at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Avraham Avinu walks into the Beis HaMikdash, and God himself sees him, and he says, Avraham Avinu, my tayor kind, what are you doing here? My beloved Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avi, what brings you to the Beis HaMikdash? And Avraham Avinu answers, well, mipnei ma galu banai leben ha'umas ha'olam. Well, I heard that you have thrown my children out of the Beis HaMikdash. I've heard you sent them into exile. I'm coming to check up on what's doing. Why do you do that? Hey, Shivlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God responds to Avraham Avinu, you know why I sent them into exile? Mipnei sha'ovdim avodah zarah. Number one, because they're serving avodah zarah, which is pretty bad. Number two, usmeichem b'mapalasun elu es elu. And they're happy about the fact that their friends are failing, that their friends are going through hard times. Says the Ribbono shel Olam to Avraham Avinu, that's why I sent them into galus. That's why they lost the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chafetz Chaim says, you put the two of these things in one sentence? How can they be compared at all? One is the Jewish people got to a level where they're serving avodah zarah. And the other is that they're smechem b'mapalasam elu es elu. They're happy about the fact that other people are failing. How can those two be compared? Says the Chafetz Chaim, they can be compared. Because the din that will be brought upon a person who takes pleasure in somebody else's suffering is just as serious, is just as severe, and is just as destructive as the terrible avera, the terrible mistake of avodah zarah itself. Frightening words of the Chafetz Chaim, but very serious. It shows us a little bit what it means when we take part, when we have the wrong perspective, when there's suffering in the world, not only to Jews, but even to our enemies sometimes. You watch a video of how, you know, a bomb was dropped on a certain country, on a terrible enemy of ours. It shouldn't give us pleasure. Yes, it's what has to be done sometimes, but unfortunately there are lives that are being lost, even when it's our enemies. That's what we're told, the mitzvah of prika and te'ina. What's the mitzvah in the Torah? It says, when you have somebody who has an animal that's traveling along the road, and it says, kisira chamor sonacha, rovetz tachas maso. When you see your enemy's animal is doubling under the load, they cannot hold the load anymore, it says you have to go ahead and help that animal out. Ask the Gemara in Pesachim, don't we know we have an aver lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha? You're never allowed to hate another Jew. So what does it mean here? When you see the animal of he or she who you hate, you have to go and help them out. What do you mean? How can you hate such a person? Who are we talking about? So the Gemara says we're talking about a person who is such an avachin ovid avadazara, somebody who's terrible, violating terrible averos. You have every right, you have every mitzvah to hate them. And yet the Torah says, you have every right and every mitzvah to hate such a person. You should not go along with the way they're leading their lives. You should show them how uncomfortable you are with the lifestyle that they lead. But yet, the Torah tells us you have to help them out. You don't let that person suffer. You're not happy about the fact that they suffer. You might hate them all you want, but we're not happy when human beings suffer, even if it's a human being who justifiably we hate. We're not happy about it. That's not our perspective. That's not what we believe in. And that's what the Medrash tells us is the reason why the Bechori Mitzrayim were killed, even those who were passively engaged in the oppression, because they were very happy about the fact that the Jews were being oppressed. They were happy about the fact that the Jews were suffering, and that is enough to take them down as well. What? So that's a question. Yeah. So sometimes when there's parani is bala olam, it's a bad time. You have to be very careful. That's what the Midrashim tell us. So now we come to the story of our parsha. How do we justify what happens by Shechem? That also seems to be collective punishment. Shimon and Levi go ahead and kill out the whole city. What right do they have to do that? So this is a major discussion in the Mefarshim on Chumash and in the Rambam and the Ramban. So the Rambam goes through a convoluted answer. The Rambam gets complicated. He says as follows in Hilchas Malachim. He says, well, after all, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach dictate that there's an Isser of Gezel. They're not allowed to steal. And they went ahead and they violated the Aveira of stealing. They went and abducted Dina. Number one. Number two, says the Rambam, there's another prohibition in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, another mitzvah, and that is Dinim. That they have an obligation to set up a court system, to set up a legal system. And it says the Rambam, their mitzvah is Lahoshiv Dayanim V'shovtim Mechal Plachu Plach. They have to have a justice system that's going to be setting up the law and order in all the communities. Ladun b'sheish mitzvah seilu lahazir asa'am. They're supposed to be the ones making sure that law and order is kept. So here you have the city of Shechem. And everybody has an obligation to make sure that law and order is kept. And yet you have people who are going ahead and violating the Isser of Gezel. Says the Rambam, well, what's the punishment for a non-Jew who violates one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Hargam b'sayiv, says the Rambam. Their punishment is whenever they violate any of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, they are killed with a sword. And therefore he writes, that's why they were all chayiv mis for what they did. Because they violated the Isser Gezel, and because the whole community was an accomplice to the crime, because they did not set up a just court system to prosecute Shimon, to prosecute Shechem and Hamor. And therefore we assume, says the Rambam, it was totally justified what Shimon and Levi did to kill out the city of Shechem. Now, the Maharal and the Gur Aryeh, that was 400 years after the Rambam. Rambam was in the 1200s, the Maharal was in the 1600s. But the Maharal and the Gur Aryeh on Chumash says, how can the Rambam say such a thing? What do you mean? Davar teima heim elu advarm. You're going to tell me that Shimon and Levi had an obligation to go ahead and kill out the whole city of Shechem? Don't we know we have a principle of Onus Rachmana Patri? If a person is sick in the hospital and a person is not able to put on tefillin, are you going to tell them they have to really put on tefillin anyway, even though it's really almost impossible for them? No. Onus Rachmana Patri. You're not going to be held responsible for what you didn't do because you're in a state of being right now that you cannot perform the mitzvah. So too over here. You have a small family of the Yud Bei Shiftei Ka. They have an obligation to go and stand up against the community of Shechem, even though it was a risk to their own lives. Onos Rachmana Patri. I don't have an obligation to go and prosecute a whole city when it's a jeopardy to my whole life, when it's going to endanger my whole family, and therefore, says the Maharal, I cannot accept what the Rambam says. I cannot accept that that's the justification of Shimon and Levi, because after all, Shimon and Levi had no obligation to go and risk their own lives to prosecute the city of Shechem. That's the question that the Maharal asks against the Rambam. And not only the Maharal, the Ramban asks the question as well. The Rambam says, what are you talking about? If you feel that it was really a mitzvah to go ahead and prosecute Shechem and the whole city along with Hamor, well then why didn't Yaakov Avinu go do it himself? Zvizim Akdimin Lemitzvah. Why is he leaving it to his children? And why is Yaakov Avinu going ahead and getting angry at his kids for what they did? After all, we're doing the right thing. We're getting rid of the evil. And they were Chayiv Misa, and we're supposed to prosecute those who are doing wrong. So the Ramban has an issue with the Rambam, and the Gur Aryeh has an issue with the Rambam, and many other Mefarshim find this Rambam to be very troubling. They find this very troubling. Now, the Chazon Ish writes a comment. He says, you know, not every time that there's a Rasha in the world, yes, it's true, we have an obligation of a V'yarta Hara Mikirbecha, of getting rid of evil from the world, but that's only when we have the upper hand, that's only when we're running the government. Doesn't mean every time that somebody does something wrong, we have an obligation to go ahead and prosecute them. So the Chazon Ish writes, we have an interesting Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara tells us in Daf Chavav, a halacha of maridin v'lo malin. There are times when you have somebody who's, let's say, from the Malshinim. I guess nowadays we would call them the awful bloggers who write terrible things about everyone and make up stories, right? Not the good bloggers, the awful bloggers who write whatever they want about anyone. Those are the La Malshinim nowadays. That's who we have in mind. Those terrible people who write terrible things and Motzi Shemra, they're not really based on any facts. So those people, the Lamal Shinim, so it says in the Gemara, Maridim Ulam Malim, you put them into a pit, you don't give them any food, you keep them down there. Says the Chazon Ish, how come we don't find anyone doing that today? We know there are Malshinim out there who are saying terrible things about us. How come we don't prosecute them? This is a halacha that the Gemara discusses. Says the Chazon Ish very simply. Chazon Ish writes in Yeridei a very cryptic statement. Because nowadays, Nichrasa Emunam and Dela Sa'am, we're not such firm believers in God nowadays. The whole world doesn't really believe in God the same way we do, and therefore he says, Ein b'masa ha'arada geder ha'pirtza, if you're going to take one of those malshinim and throw them into a pit and not give them food and let them die that way, Chalila, Chas v'shalom, says the Chazon Ish, if you're going to do such a thing, that's not going to be considered a geder ha'pirtza. You're not saving the Jewish problem by doing that. Elohosafas apirza, you're making the trouble worse. Why? Because now people are going to look at us and say, Shiyah be'ineyem kemasa hashchasa va'alimus chas v'shalom. People are going to say, look at this primitive religion. Look how ruthless they are. Look how barbaric. What right do they have to react in such a way? What right do they have to take law and order into their own hands? Says the Chazon Ish, v'kivin shekolatz meinu l'sakein. Since all that the Jewish people believe in is that we're supposed to bring about good into the world, we're supposed to be l'sakein olam b'malchus shakai, we're supposed to elevate the level of ethics and morality in the world, he says, Ein hadin noeg b'shasha ein botikun. This halacha doesn't apply at a time when we're not going to bring about that result. And that's the same over here, the Ramban asks on the Rambam. If you are the underdog, if you are just the small nation of Israel at the time, you're the children of Yaakov Avinu, you're not in a position of leadership, you're not in a position of power to go ahead and kill out a city of Shechem, to take out the law and order into your own hands, and that's why he objects the opinion of the Rambam. He says, the Rambam is not correct in saying that they had every mitzvah and every obligation to go ahead and kill Shechem and the city because they were all doing wrong and therefore they were all responsible and we have a mitzvah v'yarta ramei kirbecha. It's not true, says the Ramban. If that was the justification, it's very hard to say that at that time they would have had an obligation to do it. And not only that, why did Yaakov Avinu chastise his children? Not only that, why didn't Yaakov Avinu do it on his own? He should have wanted to perform the mitzvah on his own. I see we don't have enough time. We'll have to finish up tomorrow. But Amir Tz Hashem, we will continue.